Cats, and welcome to this week's episode of Observations. I am your host, Sovereign Sire, and I am brought to you by the lovely people at JulieLand.com. With me always is the malicious, the terrible, the vindictive, the awful, no, the sweet, the loving, the kind, the beloved Richard Avery.
I like to say cantankerous.
Ooh, cantankerous. I like that.
Big word.
Curmudgeonly.
Yeah, exactly.
Sturgeon.
Crabby.
That's a noun. I was using it like an adjective.
Nice. There you go.
I just explained a joke. So it's like now I'm like any at replier on Twitter. And with me today is Matt Bronger.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm well. How are you?
I'm good. I'm going to throw some ideas. I'm going to surprise you today.
Let's do it.
So,
this is your life.
Here we go.
Here's your first grade teacher.
There's some things on my mind that I thought maybe you could make funny because they are annoying to me. So I wanted you to ridicule them with me together, united.
Let's
together.
Do it. Yeah.
Okay, they're all part of the same thing: anti-vaxxers, Gwyneth Paltrow, that movie, The Slap.
It's a TV show.
TV show.
The emergence of lifestyles. the lifestyle of the parent, like parenthood as a lifestyle. Anti-vaxxing. I'm a vegan. It's sort of this weird kind of the weird cult of the lifestyle, like Gwyneth Paltrow's lifestyle blog where she's encouraging women to like steam clean their pussies.
Oh,
I went on the site for like a minute because it
Goop.
Drains IQ. Like as you read it, it's like you feel your life force being like sucked.
Yeah.
Out.
Yeah,
your ability to like critically think, like it's like it just diminishes. Like,
yeah, well, it's one of those things that lacks focus, and it's coming from a movie star.
Right.
Which whenever you have a movie star that's incredibly wealthy and all this stuff, if this was somebody that was, let's just say, working two jobs and raising a couple kids on her own and living in New York City or something, and like that to me would be a lot more fascinating than. Whatever Gwyneth Paltrow and the biggest criticism I've heard from people that hate her, which is a lot of people I find lately, is that it's all expensive stuff. It's all like who has this kind of money?
Out of touch with.
Completely out of touch. Talking to everybody as if they have a nanny kind of thing.
Right.
You know?
So what I like, my thing is like, why do you think we have like this? Why are we listening to celebrities? I mean, one of my biggest bugbears is like you'll be watching CNN or whatever, and they'll be like, the UN just got their goodwill ambassador, Ginger Spice.
Yeah.
And it's like, I do get it. The necessity of having like the populist whatever.
It's attention. Celebrities.
Are they really helping the cause? I guess is what I'm asking.
Yeah.
It's like, do you
think,
like, you know what I mean? Is it really like, because it's say if you have Angelina Jolie going to Africa.
Right.
If she goes to Africa, nobody in Africa like knows who the fuck she is because they haven't seen a movie.
But people will watch because she's on there and see that African with the ribs showing.
Sure.
You're like, oh man, maybe I should send a check. So I definitely think it does work in that respect. And
okay.
I think she probably does a lot of good humanitarian work. And, you know, and to her credit, she doesn't have a blog that says like, here's what you should eat. Here's how you should sleep. Here's what you should steam, including your pussy. So, you know, she's just kind of like this person who, I remember a friend of mine like saw her at something and was just like, oh my God. Like I did a commercial with Michael Jordan maybe like 10 years ago. And I remember when he walked on set, myself and the other actor were like, fuck, is that Elvis? Like you kind of get a feeling when you see this person.
Right.
Where I think she has that thing where she is like our Cleopatra. Really?
Yeah.
So her, like that to me is the better version of whatever the fuck Goop is.
Well,
do you
feel like maybe it's like this extension of like narcissism that like we've gone from aspirational, like this is what you should look like, this is whatever, to now it's like this is what you should be thinking about,
but
what you should be cleaning your pussy deep.
But that's been going on for decades.
It's true.
It really has. It's just that because of the internet and television, you see it more. But that kind of stuff has been going on. I always go back to my hero, and one of my favorite people in the world is Miss Martha Stewart.
Yeah.
Martha Stewart.
I was just thinking of Martha Stewart.
Because
actually.
Martha Stewart has been selling this whole image, this whole thing, and this voice, and this opinion about all the things that she does that you, if you really look at, like, the only person can live that lifestyle
is Martha Stewart.
Is Martha Stewart.
And that's because she's a bad bitch. Like, you cannot fuck with Martha Stewart. And the thing about Martha Stewart is you'd watch her, you know, you look at her in a magazine, you see her on TV and be like, man, I could never be that incredibly organized, that rigid, that much of an incredible homemaker on every level. Like she's like the Darth Vader of women who stay at home.
Right, but
you can learn things from her. She was never like, be like me.
Right.
Because she'd look at you and go, no, you can never be like me. Exactly. You're crazy. Not in it. I'm Martha fucking Stewart. I'll murder you.
And let's go further back than that.
Oh, man.
I'm going to go further back than that because I have always said this for many years. I'm going to go back. And the other person I think has been done more of that than anybody is Hugh Hefner. For many years, 50s, 60s, and 70s, 80s, until he got really stupid old. But like the only guy who, this Playboy image, Playboy lifestyle, the Playboy magazine, the only person who lived that lifestyle was him.
And he was also a presentation. I bet if you met Martha Stewart, she's a lot more chill than what she presents.
Right.
Hugh Hefner, he probably just eats oatmeal every night and just maybe has sex once every two days. But you were thinking fucking everyone in the mansion. Yeah,
exactly. But in the heyday, in the 60s and the 70s, he was. Like, it was, he was the only one that could smoke the finest cigars, drink the finest liquors, be with the hottest babes, hang with us. Like, he sold this image, this lifestyle. That only one person lived.
And
it was
interesting.
Him.
It was him going, and it was also him introducing you to like all
Bill
these
Cosby.
Great, sadly, but like, you know, but he was great, but also Lenny Bruce and also amazing musicians. And so it was kind of like, hey, you know what's cool? This.
Yeah.
And I think the approach that Gwyneth has taken, sadly, is you know who you should be? Right. Me. You know how? Through this.
Just exactly.
Hugh Hefner was never like, be me. Yeah. It's like, be you and use what you
try
can
to be like me, but you can't.
Wouldn't it be cool?
Yeah.
But there's no way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know. So, I always
I
felt
think
like
that's interesting. It's interesting.
I always
parallel.
Felt like there was a big thing with Hugh Hefner, and then when Martha Stewart came along, it's the same kind of thing. You can't, you know, like especially Martha. I always felt like you can be her, but you're going to need like 20 assistants and a lot of money.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, you know, because that's the only way she got shit done.
My mom had this parody magazine someone gave her that was "Is Martha Stewart Living?" You know, it was Martha Stewart, but it was like the cover is she's walking on the surface of a pool, holding hors d'oeuvres, like at a party, like she's on the water.
Yeah.
And the first recipe was how to make water from scratch, and it was like you have to break an atom. Like you have to. And it was just
You have to like how to make your home atom smasher.
Yes, exactly. Like you have a Halicon collider.
Okay, I will confess right now, I subscribed to Martha Stewart Living for like 10 years.
No, but it's like I think that's one of the,
my favorite
one of the
magazine.
Great things about being an adult is having fun dinner parties, man. Like. Literally,
I bought it for the
pictures.
I bought it for the
fun
pictures.
Drinks and shit. I own a punch bowl. Right. I'll say that right now.
Yeah, I bought it for the pictures, just like I bought Playboy for the pictures.
Nice. Yeah.
I mean, words. Were there recipes in there?
It's all fantasy.
Yeah.
Well, no, I mean, but that's the thing. It's like we watched My Sweet 16 or Cribs or there's all these things where it's like people seem to be really into like seeing how other people live and obsessed by it. And for me,
do you think they compare?
No, they do. When I first started college, I was an ESL tutor, and so I was kind of thrown into this group of diverse people because it was like all different people coming into tutor.
Yeah.
So I became friends with this guy Rami, is a Middle Eastern guy, and he had a roommate and I would go to his house and we would like smoke out of the hookah and stuff. And it was like a cool, like it was like two guys that had like a cool place. Like, and I just thought it was awesome. Cause I'm like, cause I started college when I was young, I was 16. So I was like, you guys have your own apartment? Oh my God. That's
amazing. Yeah, I remember those days.
Like that was like,
so cool.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
And we're like, we're smoking cigarettes and pot and like, whoa.
Yeah.
And he was like, and Cribs was on. Mm-hmm. And it was like, he's like, yeah, it's like, I look at that. I'm like, man, like my place is a shithole.
Yeah.
And I was like, whoa, dude, greener. like, why are you even comparing your apartment to like a rap guy's mansion? But that was the first time I was like, oh shit, people are actually watching this and going like, man, I just don't measure up. Cause he didn't say it in a funny way. He was saying it in this like doleful way.
See,
like,
that's
man,
funny.
You know?
I must've been, when I remember seeing Cribs and never necessarily feeling jealous, just going like, look at that shit. This kind of like, you know,
what a waste of money.
It's really because it's all, in a sense, pornography. Because pornography is what? It's fantasy. You're going, wow, I would love to have sex with that girl or you know, a menage or whatever. It's Cribs is the same way.
Pleasure without consequence or work.
Right. Yeah. Sweet 16 is the same way, but you're kind of, you're watching a train wreck. You're slowing down to look at a car crash.
Right.
It's all kind of, it is not exactly fantasy, but like I've said before, you know, no offense to deference to what you do, but I've said before that reality television, a lot of it is the pornography of suffering, where you're basically watching.
Have you seen Vanderpump Rules?
Right. Yes. Like, look at these idiots. You're watching people watch Dancing the Stars to watch the person fall down.
Well,
you know?
I mean, even just like even more recently, I mean, there was like the very tragic death yesterday.
Harris?
Yeah.
Yeah. Geez. Harris Whittles was a writer.
He's only, only 30.
A comedian. I knew he was a friend of mine. Yeah. Yesterday was not a good day.
Yeah. No. So he overdosed, and it was there was like Robin Williams, Amanda Bynes, like you start to see also to this bleed over of because when I heard that he had died, I kind of part of me went like, oh, this is the part where like Twitter becomes this place where people publicly grieve and like this kind of weird kind of pageantry of like of like who grieved it better, you know, or who whenever someone passes or when someone starts to have a breakdown, you know, like you're going to go and it's like this, some people it's like, are they enjoying watching the shit show? It's like you see people, it's
people, but I think more often than not, it's a useful thing. Like I always learn who died first on Twitter. No question.
Yeah.
That's my first, the first way I lit yesterday, my girlfriend texted me and let me know, but like, I think it's just a way to kind of get the word out, and that makes some people go, oh, let me watch that episode he wrote, or let me kind of let's kind of celebrate him. But absolutely, I think there are those people who sadly are like, oh, I want to get noticed too. I want the people who knew Harris, who worked with Harris, to notice me and hopefully give me a job someday. You know, I'm sure that's true.
Twitter's all about getting attention. That's all.
But
about.
But it's also about sharing
information.
But even when we like, I guess what I was getting more at is like this idea that like we watch. Like one thing that struck me was that you know there, and this is especially like. I'm like more part of writer Twitter than comedy Twitter, but I'm into like comedy Twitter. But it was like, you know, people, there's like sad Twitter kind of where there's like this brand of humor where it's like the jokes are always to kind of just tweet about how sad you are.
Yeah. Or how, what a broken person you
are. Or, oh, I'm a drug addict or whatever. And so, you know, he had, his Twitter feed was full of these jokes. Uh-huh. From during the time he was alive, and then a lot of people were retweeting them in this, I think in this vein of like, you know, like risk, like deference.
Yeah.
But I was like, but why isn't it that like in like the 2 or 3 years that these tweets were like constantly there that instead of people going ever kind of stopping and going like, this is weird, people were going like, ha ha, yeah, yeah, ha, it's funny.
Yeah, like, but he didn't like, tweet sad stuff though. I mean, he
tweeted a lot about like. Like there were like because people were finding them and kind of, I was watching them.
They were kind of like his thing was like kind of devil may care,
right?
And he was always a guy who he kind of lived by his own rules. He didn't have, and I always respect him for this. He didn't have fealty or deference to really anybody. He was just a funny guy who wrote funny things, and if he didn't like it, then go screw. And you know, I didn't really know that he was getting involved with substances like that. I generally, my friends who are, I can kind of tell a lot more than he was. We weren't the closest.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I never knew him to actually be in like a solid relationship, but I didn't ever think he really wanted to be in one. But there are some people like, I went through a breakup last year and I remember a friend going, oh, you've been pretty sad lately. I'm like, how do you know? And she's like, I can tell through your tweets. I was like, what? So, and I had no idea. I just knew I wasn't kind of being the goofy idiot I usually am. And, but of course that's,
I get that too, where it's like I'll think I'm like whatever. And someone will be like, so who'd you break up with? And I'm like, ah.
Totally.
And then I'll go look and I'm like, oh, I guess tonally there's a tone like over time.
Yeah. And it's just like when you're around people. And that's why this was so insane, because he played Meltdown, which you mentioned before, the day before he died. And there was it was all about he was just like living a better life and was clean now and stuff. And I didn't even know he'd gone to rehab. That's how not close we were.
Right.
But it was just, you know what I mean? But I was just like, what the? It hit everybody. It took everybody.
Do you think it's like we've trained ourselves to kind of look, but not act? It's like this thing where it's like it doesn't even register to us.
Yeah, but
I didn't know.
This is a thing though. Like I've been around long enough to know that.
How long have you been around?
Long time.
Hmm. Exactly.
Months.
like 2 weeks.
I was born in the doorway. I was.
Sure.
No, but I've been around long enough to this kind of. It's weird now with Twitter. Somebody like this dies, and everybody kind of hears, and you get this whole thing. But before Twitter, before all this internet crap. This shit happens all the time. And even today, today is the anniversary of Kurt Cobain's death.
Oh, wow.
Oh, shit.
Or no, it's his birthday today. It's Kurt's birthday today. So he would have been 48.
That's crazy.
Yeah. But it's like, it's just weird that these kind of things have always happened. Since, you know, like, you know, writers, comedians, everybody. Like, it's just now, though, with that little bit of fame you had or that real recognition, and then Twitter comes along and makes you almost builds up this, you know, how many times have some writer, producer, slash whatever died in this town?
Well, and here's the sick irony is that a lot of people, you know, just like always, yeah, lust after fame, but never go, oh, but that's what, look what it does to you.
Right.
Look what it does to you. Look what it did to Kurt.
I mean, that
look what
really
it probably did
me.
To Harris. Yeah. Or maybe, I don't even know, but like, he wasn't that famous. But like some,
but people, even, I mean, some people can't handle it.
Yeah.
A lot of people can't.
A lot of people can't.
But yeah. I mean, that's like what
be
really
careful what you wish for.
That no, really absolutely. Struck me is what struck me about his passing was just like, okay, there's someone that not only was he 30, but he had been working in TV and doing.
He got
that
successful pretty young,
like for 7 years already.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
And it's
yeah,
this thing
yeah.
of you go like, okay, see, like even that's like if that's not good enough,
mm-hmm.
like
right.
You know what I mean? It's I experience that feeling
it's,
a lot.
I think
you know,
I think a lot of us party. I still do. I still drink to excess, you know, here and there. Occasionally indulge in marijuana, but that's as far as I typically go.
Ken
you
is know? My best friend.
Right on. But
and just so you know, Ken is cocaine.
Okay, sure. Sweet. But like, you know, the thing about something like heroin is, I mean, that's what happened with Philip Seymour Hoffman
yeah.
was that he got hurt. And then when you get hurt, they administer
right.
pain relief. They administer morphine, which right. is the root of heroin.
Right.
And if you've already kicked heroin, but then they have to give it to you to do work on your whatever,
yeah.
you're back.
Yeah.
You're like, okay, I can't say no again.
No, exactly.
And the thing is, I feel like once you chase the dragon, once you get into opiates,
yeah.
I mean, it's a downhill slide because you're kind of you're tasting forbidden fruit, something that will wipe away anything else that's important to you, your family, whoever you love, whatever
but
your,
but
your
I
health,
mean,
your
don't
life.
Think clearly.
But,
no,
I mean, but that's the beauty of it.
Decisions are being
it,
made that you
Paul,
normally...
Paul Krasner was an incredible, or is an incredible humorist and writer and comedian, and he was a contemporary of... He wrote of Lenny Bruce. He wrote a book called One Hand Jerking. That's very funny. That's like, what's the sound of one hand clapping? What's the sound of one hand jerking? Kind of thing. Like he turned everything on its ear. He did a famous illustration of all the Disney characters in the 60s fucking in the woods, and people lost their mind.
I think I remember
was,
that. I think
like,
I remember
yeah,
that.
He was like, you know, this is free speech, which it is.
Yeah.
But he like fucking like, get to the point. He talked to Lenny Bruce and was like, "Why do you do heroin, man? Like it's killing you." And Lenny went, "Well, it's like kissing God." And Paul was like, "Well, God, I can't argue with that. It's kind of like argument over. Shit.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, you're like, yeah."
And I
see?
Think too, the beauty of addiction too is that it takes all the chaos in your brain and it narrows it down to one thing.
Because
you wake up
yeah.
every day and you go like, "How
so
am I going to get more
you're
shit?"
You're after one thing. Yeah, that's
simplifies it.
How,
it all.
Oh yeah, and it's I think like especially when like you're creative and you're intelligent. Yeah, I know. For me, it's like my thoughts are like stampeding horses. I mean, it's like trying
yeah.
to corral
yeah.
that can be so challenging.
Or as I like to,
like...
I always like to say, the voice inside my head is like an annoying roommate that just won't leave.
yeah, and it doesn't shut up.
Yeah.
No, it's like
shut
the,
up!
It's like
yeah.
the constant narrator, yeah. but it's an unreliable narrator.
Exactly.
No, yeah.
But I think that a lot of times too, like I just have found in Hollywood, like this stuff kind of just happens, mm-hmm. like and it's. It's life. First of all, we're not going to all live forever. People are going to die, and they die different ways. But in Hollywood, it's sad that this kid, because he's a kid at 30,
yeah,
is a kid.
Yeah, yeah.
Like you kind of, and like you said, what was he aiming for? What was his goals? Did he already achieve them? So hey, I've achieved all this stuff, and I can buy drugs and get,
yeah.
do all. It's sad. And I feel like a lot of times when you get it young, you do have a tendency to just kind of think it's going to last forever, and it's like no big. You feel
yeah.
invincible.
And the thing is, even now, I mean, we're basically all. Pontificating, we have no idea.
Yeah.
You know, we don't know what if he even had goals or whatever.
Yeah.
I just know he was a really good-hearted guy.
And talented.
Incredibly funny, and it's yeah. just you know, I hadn't talked to him in months, and I was just you know wiping tears yesterday,
yeah.
just going like, this is so ridiculous.
Yeah.
It's so ridiculous, and so is heroin.
Yeah,
you know,
right.
I've had two cousins on and off it. You know, anyone who grew up in the Pacific Northwest has had it.
Oh yeah,
both of my parents
Kurt
were.
Kurt Cobain.
Yeah.
That's
both
when I used to go to Seattle.
Really?
That's all
yeah.
we knew.
Yeah,
it's hardcore.
Yeah, it's not. It just sucks.
Super
sucks.
And on that dour,
yeah,
dour note, that is low.
Now let's all go do some heroin and drink some coffee.
Yeah, guys. Evens you right out. You feel normal. You just feel normal.
Seattle, 1991.
Did I do any drugs?
Well,
this sucks.
I felt like we should. I when you came in, I was like, we should probably just talk about it because it was something.
No,
of,
absolutely.
You know,
I
like,
did.
It happened, and I was like, oh, let's like address it. Just
I did comedy
it, yeah.
last night, and it's the first thing I said because I just did. I didn't want to do my act, but I feel like honesty is often the most important thing in comedy. And it's like, well, I'm just going to call it the elephant in the room.
Yeah.
You can't act like this person isn't.
I mean, it was the way I found out was I didn't know him at all, but my friend is an actor and he was a guest. He's guest starring on Community this week.
Oh, my God.
And he texted me and he was like, and he goes, so the director's best friend has just overdosed.
Right.
And you could hear a pin drop in here, and I don't know how we're gonna be funny right now.
Fuck.
Like it is.
Oh my God!
Like,
I thought I had it bad. Yeah, he's doing 10 minutes last night.
He's like, this Jesus. Is, and yeah, and so it's by the end of the night. He's like, so this has been the most intense day I've ever spent on a set, and especially because he was kind of coming in from England, so he didn't know everybody. Like, so he's just like, he's like, you know, like, what do you? And now we're all gonna be funny. Like,
yeah. No. Oh my God.
You know, I think that's the kind of
just keep moving forward.
Yeah,
that's all.
Kind of like the weird kind of you feel weird, but it's like the weird irony of life is that, like, and then it just keeps going.
The thing you have to do is you have to confront it and get through it because if you bury it, it's going to come back.
And you don't have no choice. You really, I just keep saying, you wake up every day, you go move forward. The world's you're going to die, live whatever. No matter what you do, the world's going to keep spinning.
Yeah, you let go. You can't change it.
Yeah, you mourn. You
just
say
log
sucks.
On to Goop, and
she'll tell you how to live.
She'll tell you.
Yeah.
Let Jenny McCarthy
steam
tell you what you need to do with
your
kids.
Your balls, your ass. Just
exactly.
Steam it all.
Read your TMZ.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, make sure that you got your tail on straight.
Yeah. Tour Italy with Mario Batali, though you're a vegan. Just see how those chefs react to you. That blew my mind. I was like, are you out of your fucking mind? I don't care if I've been a vegan for 15 years. If I go to Italy, I'm not a vegan.
I'm going to have a meatball.
I'm just, yeah, you bet your ass. I'm eating mozzarella.
Like
crazy?
I said, weird ideological eating disorder. But and with that, hey, Matt Bronger. Why don't you tell everyone where they can find all your amazing shit?
Just go to mattbronger.com, mattbrauenger.com. It's got my Twitter, my Tumblr, all my albums, and specials and all that jazz. So, yeah.
Sweet. And you all know me. I am Sovereign Sire, and you can find me at Sovereign Sire on Twitter, and you can find me on my lovely website, ilovesov.com. And, of course, Observations is on julielandradio.com, as well as iTunes and SoundCloud, which you know if you're listening to this. Anyway, bye everybody.
Bye.